Conciliums with Pete and Charlie.
I'm Pete.
I'm Charlie.
The unity of knowledge.
That and a whole bunch of caffeine is what's going to get us through this.
The hypocrisy drives you nuts?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it just does.
The hypocrisy, the giant hypocrisy.
I realize now when I watch political shows and read articles, there's only two things that bug me. One, hypocrisy. Two, bullies. And I added bullies because of Chris Christie. I don't actually think Chris Christie is hypocritical. I think he has a conservative view.
Disclaimer.
He believes it.
We're recording this when? December 10th?
Right.
So who knows what's happened since December
Chris
10th?
Chris Christie could have gone on a rampage at a shopping
Trump
mall.
And Christie could have run at each
Bergen
other
County.
Like giant bucks in the woods and banged their
heads together.
I want to insult them, but I'll just bang their heads together to see what would happen. Which one of them would fall backwards, dazed, and which one would fall dead?
Well, being an engineer, I've got to go with the momentum of Chris Christie. It's purely Newton's second law. I'm not making a comment about his weight. I'm just saying, mass times acceleration, baby. Mass times acceleration.
Trump looks like he has a huge head, though.
No, that's just hair. It's a lot of. I think he uses Aquanet on that. Because Aquanet is the only thing that can hold.
I will say one thing. Yeah. This cycle, this particular political cycle, has made it clear to me that, yeah, you know, I really do believe in the just ditch all of the attempts to shame or ridicule people's looks and aesthetic choices.
Right.
You know, like I just cannot even bring myself to make fun of Trump's hair. You know, despite the fact
it's low-hanging fruit. It's
just, it's a comb over.
Yeah.
You know, and only because he's famous is this comb over really noticeable. I mean, there's comb overs all the time.
Do you watch C-SPAN? There are more comb overs in Congress than you would expect.
Sure. So, you know, so whatever, right? Like, and people's weight and what they wear and things like that.
Look, I'm a middle-aged man. We both have lost the battle.
But wait, I'm not saying, you know, so I see it and I just let it go. I'm just saying, like, it just doesn't matter when we're talking about people who are deciding policies.
Yeah, it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. I don't care if you have a bad comb over. If that's your one little piece of vanity, and we all have them. I mean, I'm a big fan of Bernie Sanders' policies, but my God, who dresses this guy?
See, this is what I'm talking about, Pete.
What's the deal with his hair?
Please. No. All I'm asking you is that we don't do any jokes that start with, I mean, what's the deal with? Because it's like, no. Okay. No. No. It's become clear that all you have to do is write their words down, and you have all the argument against them that you need.
My son, Dylan, really said it best.
Including some of the people on my side of the aisle.
He said, you know, if we, he's not a fan of Donald Trump, nor is his friend, I'm trying to think which friend really doesn't like him.
You can move on.
But he says, if Trump's elected, it will be terrible.
That's true.
But we will get a meme a day out of it. Trump is the meme a day president. And he's already making memes with Trump. But that's what I'm saying. You just take one of his pictures and put something he said every single day, and you have a nice meme. And the kids, they like the memes. The meme is an art form.
The kids like the memes?
Yeah. Us old guys were like, eh.
No.
Yeah, we should have a picture of us. The kids, they like them memes. That's the new meme. The meme is kind of a new art form. I mean, it's only been around for a few years. I don't think...
No, I don't think that's true.
I think it was called a cartoon. It was called the New Yorker cartoon before that.
You gotta go with it's not the delivery system. The delivery system is new and the ubiquity.
And the meme is a delivery system, I think.
I don't know. The juxtaposing text and image. Mm-hmm. You know, that's
called a cartoon.
I mean, it's a cartoon, but it's not even that. I mean, it's just art, you know.
Oh, okay.
Like Barbara Kruger was doing that, and you wouldn't call it a cartoon.
Okay.
Isn't it Barbara Kruger who does the black and white?
I guess it's the new popularity of this
delivery
form.
And the delivery system and also the way that it is shared. The virality, I guess, of it. Mm-hmm. Just the way that if you see it, you can be like, ha, and then spread.
So I've actually been a fan of the meme for years. I used to take New Yorker cartoons and put different text underneath them.
Do you know about the Christ, what an asshole?
No.
So this is the this is my favorite thing. Someone posited as a theory that every New Yorker cartoon would be improved if its caption was changed from whatever it was to "Christ, what an asshole."
Some of them would be. And that's actually was my view. There was a great one.
It's never been less funny, I'll tell you that.
Where there was a dog. And they were just, it was just drawn so exquisitely. And he's leaning over with a snarky look on his face.
I mean, if we're getting ready to start describing cartoons, Pete, come on now.
This is a thing of beauty, though. Don't we espouse the humanities here?
All I'm asking is that you immediately jeté back to Coolsville. Okay.
And it was a dog leaning over by a bunny. And the dog was sarcastically saying, "Hippity hop, hippity hop, hippity hop." And I looked at it and I came up with something different. And I traced the cartoon and put my own caption on it and framed it and actually gave it to my high school girlfriend as a Valentine's Day present. I just thought it was very clever. Now people are going to think I'm deranged. And basically, I changed the text of the dog talking to the bunny saying, giving the history of Valentine's Day. You know, in such and such year, St. Valentine's was brutally beheaded at the hands of the Romans. But I don't know what that has to do with how these dumbass humans carry on every year. I just thought it was funny. No wonder she broke up with me shortly thereafter.
I actually really like the idea of two animals having a conversation about it. And so what they do is they...
And Nick... Is it Nick Sparks? Who's the guy that does Wallace and Gromit, the claymation cartoons?
I have no idea.
He started by doing animals talking. He would record real-life conversations and then just put them over the animation. He would make the animation follow it. Brilliant.
So the remix, right? I mean, it's got a tradition. It's not a new art form. It's just this particular rendition. It's kind of like abstract painting was new, right? But painting itself was much longer, had much more history. Mm-hmm. It's a silly point.
And actually what we're doing is we're enjoying a little trip down humanity's lane.
It just kind of shooting
talking
the shit,
about
aren't
art
we?
And people and things like that. Yet despite that...
and getting nowhere.
In last month's Chronicle of Higher Education, Stephen Kahn... penned an article, How the Crisis
he
of the Humanities
typed it.
Is Like the Greek Economy. Now, I think he dipped a quill in gall ink.
I would like to point something out.
Iron gall ink, sorry.
That Greek thing, it's not in there. It's just a line he came up with.
Yeah, I don't think it's like the Greek economy. And I think the Greeks are partially to blame for their economic state.
Why is that?
Well, because their culture.
Oh, wait. Yeah. I forgot. I don't care.
Okay. No, just like we are partially to blame for our economic state because our culture is messed up.
What I don't care about. What? I don't care what you think of the Greek economic crisis.
Most people don't.
Just like I don't care what I think of the Greek economic crisis. Okay. I am trying to understand a little bit more as we go, you know, but this is a thing, like, this is rife with opinions that are all about basically religious faith. Just as a flashback to last episode, you know, when people say, see, socialism, it will always fail, they might as well say, see, God smote them.
It is convenient to bring out the smote or smite thing once in a while.
Does something smite? Is it smited? Or is it
I believe
smote?
Smote is the past tense.
See, God disapproves. You might as well just say that. Most everything.
No, smite and smote have a certain weight to them.
You ever been smoted?
No, but I'm sure people have wished said action upon me on a regular basis.
I think I might have been smited at one point or another.
I will smite thine enemies. It's good.
So
it's good
let's stuff. Leave aside the Greek economy, because who cares? But Steve Kahn says there's a crisis in humanities and that it's...
no one's majoring in it.
No one's majoring in
it. It's not their fault, because people are systematically discouraging people from doing that.
Do you think that's true?
are we being 100% honest here? Yeah, that's true.
The one thing that really caught me is when he was talking about... The AP tests and dual enrollment in high school to basically get out of some of those core classes, right?
My daughter's high school has like 18 separate AP programs.
A lot of those core classes are more humanities than not. Right?
That's his contention. Ooh, but I never took an AP test. I only took AP tests in the sciences. I never took an AP test in the humanities. I don't think they had them back when I was in college.
Well, that's the thing. Like, this is about now, right? Mm-hmm. This is not about then. This is about now. Right. And people, you can, like, the Regents test, right? You just take a writing test and you can get out of English 1101 if you've done a thing.
Can you? I thought you have to take a test for American history on that, but I don't think you can get out of 1101.
I think you can.
Oh.
I think you can.
Okay.
But you know what? Who cares what I think? I don't know anything. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
I think it's bigger than that. I think it's, you know, I go back to The Graduate. He said one word, plastics. He didn't say one word, Chaucer.
Actually,
he didn't say that.
He said, are you listening?
You know, history and art and literature, the importance of them is not immediately apparent to people. And it is important. And I'm not sure how to convey that.
Check
Advanced
it.
Placement, Georgia Tech. AB score of 405 on English 1101. Oh, okay.
You can do it.
I think my daughter might have placed out of that, too.
Here are all the College Board Advanced Placement exams for Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. Art history, biology, calculus, chemistry, Chinese, computer science, English language and composition, environmental science, European history, French language, German language, mm-hmm. government and politics. Whoops. Human geography.
Yeah, and notice
human geography.
With the exception of certain languages, no one requires.
Is that a Jeanette Winterson novel? Italian, Japanese.
That's what Newt Gingrich
Latin,
taught. Did you know that?
Econ,
at Kennesaw State?
Econ.
He taught geography. They scrapped the department. So then he went into politics and the rest is history.
Physics, psychology, Spanish, statistics.
But
ooh.
Most of them, they're
look
all.
Look at this. Look at this. Statistics.
No
credit. No credit awarded.
Wow. And actually, one of my students in my GT1000 class took the statistics
Studio
AP.
Studio art.
But look at them. They're
history,
all fours
history.
Or fives. None of this three crap like Mr. Khan claims.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter what he said, the details. This guy's like just trying to make a Greek economy joke, and it doesn't matter.
Are you saying he's a little whiny?
You say whiny. I'm saying that this reads to me like, hey, you know what pisses me off? Like,
but he offers no solution. What is the solution to get people more interested in the humanities at the college level? Do you know what it is? I don't know what it is.
Well, one thing is that you might say, yeah, we shouldn't place people out. We shouldn't place incoming students out of these classes. Here is his actual real point. All right. Does anyone really believe that a 3 on this exam is a genuine substitute for college work? Now,
no, I don't.
The detail doesn't matter, right? Testing out of a college course can seem a little crazy if we believe that the, you know, interaction among students and professors in a classroom, that kind of, you know, engaged learning thing is important, right? If we think it's sage on the stage stuff and you just have to know facts and be able to identify models, then, test out,
but
right?
I tested out of 2 semesters of calculus and a bunch of chemistry. And it made my college experience more bearable because they're piling way too many credits on people, actually.
See, I mean, so you've described 3 or 4 problems, right? Including this guy's problem. There's not a solution to this, right? Mm-hmm. There are structural flaws. There are problems within our higher education, and they all need to be diagnosed and they all need to be fixed, right?
But this is simply a practical attempt to deal with the fact that people come into college with different levels of preparation. Some are AP, some are normal, some need remedial classes. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
We don't have a lot of remedial classes at Georgia Tech, but we do have some. And to be honest, for those of you that love the sports teams, some of them are oriented toward athletes.
How does an English class?
Most of these, by the way, are math and science.
How does an experience of English class change with more preparation or less preparation?
I don't know. I know how a math or science class changes.
Okay, well, how does math or science change?
You're able to tackle more advanced concepts because you're familiar with the scaffold beneath that, right?
Right.
If you understand differential calculus, it's very easy to start in integral calculus, but you need to understand differential calculus first. And many students will get 4s or 5s in the first two semesters of calculus, even three, but they won't use it all. A lot of times they realize, hey, I may not be prepared to go into that third calculus. I'm going to take the second, even though I placed out of the, I took the test for the first and the second. They got to make a judgment call. And it depends on the students. Some students are bright enough to go right on into the third calculus or whatever it is, or whatever the course is.
Okay, okay. So
others are not.
So what is the, what's the equivalent? Just make it up, Pete, because that's, we're just talking, okay, right? What's the equivalent of differential calculus? Wait, which is first?
Differential calculus.
Yeah. So what's the equivalent of differential calculus for English? 1101, composition.
I don't know what it is. I know what it should be.
What do you think it should be?
It should be the first writing or rhetoric course. You know, analysis of good writers and being able to compose in a structured way like Hemingway did. I'm going to use Hemingway. He's very structured. I don't like his topics. He's very warlike. He's a machismo dude. But
another old white guy heard from.
Oh, no. And if you have a better author, I'm just not as well-versed in this. Is there a better author that's more representative?
Choose one, man. I mean,
what's the book I just read?
Hemingway was a great writer, but just choose one.
Zinsser?
You'll find somebody better than him, you know?
Do you like Zinsser? Is that the book I'm reading?
That's, yeah, I like Zinsser.
He's good. Yes. Is he an old white guy?
He's dead.
Is he dead,
just
too?
Just like Hemingway.
Damn it.
Except Zinsser didn't kill himself.
Gloria Steinem? I like a lot of her
writing. Dead.
No, she's not. She died? She's not dead. She just did an interview with Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I didn't think you'd freak out like that. Oh. I just
so Zinsser's still alive? You're just saying everyone's dead. I'm very gullible.
No, Zinsser's dead, yes. Gloria Steinem's still alive.
She just did an interview with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who a lot of people think is close to death.
You were so upset.
But she's still kicking it, man. She's still
rocking. So.
Okay. You know, so pick your author.
The tools to interpret and compose. Right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Good writing is rare. We need better writing. And frankly, we need it in the sciences and engineering.
So,
and good writing is good writing. Don't give me this technical stuff.
So I think maybe the problem is that, you know, the first history survey course, the first, you know, rhetoric and you know, composition course, those are the required courses. And then they're gone.
Not if you're a humanities major.
Well, not even that, though. I mean, like,
what?
Like,
what, do you only take three courses if you're humanities?
What's a humanities degree?
Was your second degree stack considered a humanities degree?
I mean, it should be, yeah.
All right, then you can talk intelligently about this.
Okay, help me with this example, okay. All right? Like econ.
Right.
Humanities.
No, I would say econ is more science, isn't it?
Nah, economics is a liberal art.
Yeah, I know your views on econ. He's like, the data is it's a little squirrely. We don't really know what we're talking about. And in fact, that's exactly the metaphor this guy uses.
Okay, how about architecture?
Markets are only free in the salon when you're discussing.
Is architecture humanities?
Oh, architecture's maybe on the
psychology.
Cusp. Psychology. We've had this argument before. Dang it, he's going to trap me.
I'm not trying to trap you. Here's the thing.
Psychology is a science.
A lot of
the science of how
human
think
at
people
Georgia
think.
Tech
yeah.
only require one history and two Englishes, and then you kind of go. You
yeah,
do your
that's
own
part
thing.
Of your general ed stuff. But
so maybe the point is that if you test out of English 1101, there should also be English 2000 or something. That is the continuation, and we should believe that you must continue this as opposed to the get it out, get your. Essay
yes,
out of the way
I like where you're
on.
Going here.
Because right. the differential calculus to integral calculus is a path. Or what was it? It's force and mass, force and momentum to electromagnetism to quantum, right? Isn't mm-hmm. that's the physics path?
Kind of. Yeah. I don't think we do a lot of
and
quantum.
And one
here,
awesome but. Has one often has to remag when you fail EMAG.
Yes. EMAG, remag, and 3-mag.
Well, the 3-mag, that's just oof.
No, so what you're saying is actually pretty good, but you can't simply say, look, if you test out of one course, you have to always substitute another course.
No, you don't say if you test out. Yeah. We should have a better thread from start
yes,
to finish.
Yes, and some people do. So, for example, the reason I think it's okay to test out of some courses and not have to take another course for it is because we overload the students with too many credits. But what they did at the University of Illinois when I went there is I placed out of the first two chemistry classes because I took the AP chemistry test. But here's what they said. In their wisdom, they were very wise about this. They said, yeah, so you know chemistry, hotshot, but you didn't have a rigorous lab experience.
So you got to take this.
So they said, if you want to test out of these two, we will make you take this analytical chemistry course, which was an excellent course. It was very challenging. I really struggled with it.
How many students did you come in with?
University of Illinois, what do they got? 40,000 students?
No, no. Tons. How many freshmen did you come in with?
What was your freshman class?
Incoming class.
I mean, it was probably 6,000 students or
something. How did they give you this particular attention? How did you get the okay
hot shot? Oh, this was their
shot.
Policy. Oh, no, no. This was their policy.
Okay.
They had figured this out over years of experiment.
Okay,
and they probably had students take this and be poor at lab sciences.
I thought you were getting like special attention they were examining your... Okay, yeah.
But I got some very good special attention. I messed up and scheduled my physics class, my first physics class, over another class. And I was, oh my God, it's the first week. And this was not when you log in and do phase three registration online. This is when you wait in a line in the armory with a bunch of papers.
Not being able to read their handwriting can screw your
And you have little cards and some graduate student in English who go, oh, you can't take this course. So, what happened was I went to the physics department. I said, oh, I got to get a different physics class. And she said, well, the only one that's open, you know, at a time that works for your schedule is the honors section. I said, do I want to take the honors section? She goes, yeah, you get better instructors. So I took all three honors physics and I ended up working for the physics department because the guy who taught my honors section was very good, a guy named Denny Kane. He wrote the computer-based physics homework and I was a tutor in that lab. So I did get some good, and this was from the administrative secretary. She wasn't even an advisor, and she gave me some really good advice. So, yes, we can improve this thread. We can say that, look, if you place out of these humanities, and you've placed out of like 9 credit hours, you have to at least take 3 or 4 credit hours of something new and different. And here's a selection for you to choose from. That's good. And that's what they did with me with chemistry. It was great.
I have found on the Georgia Tech website the Humanities, Fine Arts, and Ethics curriculum requirements for the ME bachelor's degree.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Yeah, hit it.
Course area C is satisfied by completion of 6 semester hours in courses that carry the humanities attribute. Mm-hmm. 6 hours is 2 classes.
Okay, Pocahontas, before you start whining about that, what is the lab science requirement for someone in STAC?
I had to take a lab science.
3 hours, maybe 4, depending on which class. Was it 5?
Yeah, I took chemistry.
So it's less, you butt.
Yes, but haven't we also talked about how humanities is about understanding how one is a person and exists in the world? And lab science is a more specialized skill.
Right, but you can't give us crap for only taking 6 hours.
I sure as shit can give you crap about it.
Well, I believe your reasoning is flawed.
My reasoning is not even close to flawed, Pete.
Are you saying yours is of more global importance than a lab science?
I'm saying it's more personal importance. You know, the fact that
this is what you're invoking. This is your arguments now. Be gone, you infidel.
I'm going to double down, triple, quadruple down. All right. The fact that we have stripped
this could come
humanities
to blows
away. Mm-hmm. From what we think is important for education means that we've got all of these folks who are really precisely specialized, you know, engineering kind of folks, right? Who don't read poems and don't give a shit about it. And that sounds like a real flighty sort of.
But most humanities
so
people
what?
I know do not give a shit about chemistry and physics.
And you don't have to know about chemistry and physics.
I think you do.
To be a good person.
I think you do.
No,
I
you
think
don't.
You, do.
You don't. You don't.
I think you do.
You know why you think you do?
Why?
Because you're an asshole.
Do you know why you think you do? Because you're defending the humanities. And you're right. We're all biased when it comes to our own
Pete,
stuff.
Really
we need to pick a neutral ground.
I really
here.
Hoped you were going to get deeper with me on that.
No,
one.
I'm not taking the bait here.
Oh, you didn't hit the hook? It was just waiting.
I You're a cruel human being, Charlie Bennett.
Okay, but in reality.
We should pick something neutral.
In the real thing, you know.
Let's pick industrial design.
My ability to understand what goes on in a chemistry lab mm-hmm. versus, you know, our ability to communicate mm-hmm. our feelings and empathize with another human being.
Right.
One of those is good to be a well-rounded person. And one of those is essential to being able to exist in the world.
All right, I'm thinking about that. You make a good argument there. Yeah, but I don't think we're teaching either one of those courses well.
Okay.
If we taught them better,
that's fine.
You would have an appreciation for both those sides and why it's important to be a well-rounded human being.
That's one problem. Yeah. But I'm saying that the minimizing of humanities to a 6-credit-hour thing, you know, we should have... I guess this is a reactionary thing. Like it's almost as if you say we should learn Latin again. We should teach Latin, right?
Do people advocate for that?
I mean, I think
Agricoli, Agricoli, Agricolum.
I think in the 70s we should go back to teaching Latin is something that happened. You know,
I remember it.
And those days are gone. That's over. Right. But now we're like just desperate to make sure that people take a course in textual interpretation. Right. Mm. Or media study.
I think like if you're a linguist, Latin roots are important to you.
Latin roots is a Fugazi song.
Oh,
I just
I like
got
that.
Really excited Latin in the back roots, of my head. Good.
But Latin roots are important. Greek roots, too. But to learn conversational Latin or conversational Greek is just, I'm going to use one of my favorite words, dumbassery. It's just dumbassery. But to learn the structure of the language and the etymology, very important for us to understand how our modern languages are composed. So that is very important.
Yeah. But back to my point.
Okay. What was your point?
You got to read a poem once in a while.
And do you? Do you have to read a poem once
really,
in a while?
I think what? So.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm thinking. Yeah, I think you do.
So, I mean, it's more important to read a little bit more than to visit more research labs, right? Visiting more research labs will probably give a lot more people a sense of what's actually happening. And when they say, oh, scientists are, it's like, well, actually, here's what's going on. That would be good.
But that's not the point of your 5-hour chemistry course. The 5-hour chemistry course point is to understand the nature of the chemical and molecular world. It will help you be a better cook, for God's sakes.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. We may not be teaching it right.
But empathy, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the political landscape.
Can you teach empathy?
Yes. Absolutely.
Then why aren't we doing it? Because there's precious little of it on this planet, including this political season.
Because it's not immediately apparent that you lack it when you're trying to get a job fresh out of college. It's only later in life when it becomes...
Yeah, I think they see it about 6 months into your employment.
Yeah, probably. but also, I mean, and also not empathy, not like I have no empathy, I'm a sociopath, but just, you know...
Yeah, no empathy, I believe, is a sociopath.
Right. But a lack of
limited empathy.
Yeah, or because we avoid subjects in job interviews, because we know, you know, don't talk about God, politics, or sex, you know, at work until you really know somebody. You know, we kind of avoid that sort of...
That which makes us human.
Booyah.
But what you're suggesting here is something very interesting that I haven't thought of until you made me think of it, because you are a veritable savant. and that is, we have this curricular-induced Asperger syndrome, right? Where you have these people that are scientists who maybe don't read enough poems, who don't understand enough about empathy, who just talk about their thing. And you want to diagnose it as Asperger's, and it really has nothing to do with that end of the autism spectrum. It's just that no one ever said, hey, you know, you don't know how to talk to people. That's what nobody hangs out with you, dude. Consilience with Pete and Charlie is a podcast about the intersection of science and the humanities.
Recorded at the WREK studios in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia, on the campus of the Georgia Institute of Technology.
And what does Georgia Tech and WREK think about the opinions expressed on Consilience with Pete and Charlie?
They definitely don't want a piece of these, unless, of course, they agree with us, which they probably don't.
They might. You never know.
I don't think they do.